Blog Talk Radio.
All aboard! The Clio Exchange Express is leaving the station. Welcome to the Clio Exchange Express, a conversation about the past, present, and future. A lively discussion between friends, family, pundits, personalities, and potentates, if necessary, in order to teach and learn something new. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the hour. Let's go to the show already in progress.
Well, hi there. This is Lou Phillips. I'm one of your conductors that'll be taking you on this wonderful journey that we've got planned for you today. And as I said, I'm only one of your hosts. We've got another one that is going to be joining us shortly, and we're going to be heading out on another life journey. It's a journey that will educate, inform, and inspire. Now, the other end of this microphone is going to be speaking to you from London, England. And I'm especially anxious to get him online because the person we're going to be focusing on tonight, he has some close familiarity with them, and I'm talking about none other than Mr. John Cheatham. Hello, John. How are things going in London town?
Hello, Lou. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, listeners around the world. How are you? It's fine. Listen, it's 10 o'clock here in London. I know it's 5 o'clock over there in Washington. It's 10 o'clock here in London. And would you believe we had some decent weather for a change. It wasn't so bad today. It was kind of mild, right?
Yeah, well, that's great. That's great. Well, I appreciate you sharing some of that with us because we had a pretty mild day today as well. It got into the 60s and supposed to be mid-70s tomorrow.
Well, that means that all your snow will be gone pretty soon.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's already gone. It's already gone.
That's good. Well, that's good. That's good.
And I tell you, man, it gave me a chance to, you know, get out and soak up the sun. It really felt great, too. But it also energized me to, you know, to get prepared and be ready for our focus on music for this particular show as we delve into the music archives once again and pull out another real winner. Don't you think so, John?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Yeah, he's one of my old time favorites. You know, back in the day, I really enjoy his music.
He had a lot of challenges in front of him because he was coming along at an era when there were a lot of other tremendous vocalists out there. But it's still going to be a great opportunity for us to hear his music and learn more about this featured artist that we have for this evening. Let me tell our listening audience, John, that you can join in the conversation beginning at 15 after the hour, and you can do so by giving us a call at area code 323-870-4072. Again, that number is area code 323-870-4072. So I tell you, as usual, we're being led through this experience by our music guru and resident overall historian, guy who knows an awful lot about the music business and the artist. And he is not just talking about something he heard. He's talking about things that he knows. And I'm talking about none other than Mr. George Chandler. So what do you say, John? Let's get started by bringing him onto the microphone, okay?
Okay, let's go. Let's have a good evening.
Oh, yes. Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is George Chandler, and you're listening to George Talking Music.
I reached a turning point in my life. I reached a turning point, Lord, 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 in my life.
didn't bat an eye as I packed my bags to leave. Oh, darling, I'm so lonely without you. Can't sleep at night.
Oh, yes, you guessed it. Tonight, our featured artist is none other than Tyrone Davis. Tyrone Davis was the king of romantic Chicago soul, especially popular with the female soul fans. Tyrone Davis had a hit-making run that ran from the late 60s to the early 80s. Davis could handle everything from pop soul to funk to bluesy chitlin circuit R&B. But smooth soul was his true bread and butter.
Yeah, indeed it was. And you can hear it, George, can't you? Just in his voice, man. I mean, he's bringing you soul.
You certainly can. I mean, just like you hear country in Joe Simon's delivery, in Tyrone Davis, you hear the blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well,
and,
I'll tell you a little
you
bit
say,
about
George,
it.
Okay.
Yeah? Go ahead. I'll wait for you.
I was just going to say, as you get into it, and I'm sure you're going to be talking about his background, it sounds like the down-home, gut-ringing Delta blues, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. Well, he was born in Mississippi, so that's no wonder you can hear that in his voice. In fact,
okay.
Tyrone Davis was born Tyrone Fetson on May the 4th, 1938, in the small town of Greenville, Mississippi. Now, a year later, his parents divorced, and his father moved north to Saginaw, Michigan. Davis remained in Greenville with his mother, but like most southern towns of that era, Greenville offered little opportunity for black Americans. Segregation was the law, and racism was the way of life.
Yeah.
At the age of 14, Davis decided to seek a better future up north, and he moved to Saginaw, where his father served as a minister. After working a series of blue-collar jobs in Michigan, Davis moved again, arriving in Chicago in 1957 at the age of 19. Now, what was Chicago like at this time? That's a good question.
It had to be a shock.
Chicago in the 50s and 60s was a hotbed of music. I mean, just like Tyrone Davis, hundreds of black musicians had moved north, bringing the musical tradition of Delta blues and New Orleans jazz. On the south side of Chicago, a whole new breed of electrified blues was emerging, led by names like Muddy Waters and John Lee Hooker. Mm-hmm. And also this new music called rock and roll. And, of course, Chicago was also a hotbed for rhythm and blues.
Yeah.
Now, Davis landed in the middle of all this. And after long days working in a steel factory, Davis spent his nights hanging out in Chicago's music clubs. In 1959, he landed a job as chauffeur and valet for legendary blues guitarist Freddie King.
Wow.
And the more time he spent around the music scene, the more he wanted to contribute to it.
Yeah,
so one
yeah.
night, guess what happened? Dressed to kill, he went to a Bobby Blue Bland concert. And he eased up to the side of the stage. And Bobby asked him if he wanted to jump up on stage and sing a little bit. So Tyrone took the microphone, climbed on stage, and did a perfect imitation of Bobby Blue Bland style. Yeah.
Wow.
And after the show, Bland called Davis over and told him, I'm going to give you just one little bit of advice, young man. Be you.
Yeah.
Don't be me.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, Davis recalled in an interview with the Chicago Tribune, he said, it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
He began to develop
his distinctive style. And he had a little bit of help because there was a pianist in Chicago by the name of Harold Burridge. And Harold began to mentor the young Davis and helped him get gigs around town. And he performed around town as Tyrone the Wonder Boy. In 1965, Davis recorded his first single on a local label called The Four Brothers. It was followed by a few more singles, but no hits. Davis's career was off to a very, very slow start.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, George, let me stick a pin in real quick and just ask you a couple of questions. Number one, it looks as if he's really stepped into the heartbeat of blues singing with Freddie King and Bobby Blue Band. How did they figure in his development? Were they entertainers that he idolized or
absolutely. You know? I mean, at this time, I think his idols at this time was probably Bobby Blue Band, Little Milton, and of course Sam Cooke. And also Chicago, you got everything was happening. You got doo-wop coming in as well during this time. And he has so many interesting influences. And once he finds himself, and like most singers, it takes a minute to find yourself. I mean, very few singers come out of the box fully rounded.
Yeah.
And Davis had to learn and develop his style. But once he got it down, there was no stopping. There was no turning back.
He's off to the races.
Yeah. And after the Four Brothers label folded in 1967, Davis signed with Dachau Records. Now, Dachau was a new label formed by Chicago music producer Carl Davis. And also, it was at this time that Tyrone Davis had a name change. Because Carl Davis told him that Fetson was not a very nice name. So Davis said, okay, I'll take your last name. And so that's how he became Tyrone Davis, by taking Carl Davis' last name.
Oh, that's where it came from. Okay.
That's where it came from. Okay, so now they go into the studio and they start recording, and they come up with a couple of songs, and one of these songs, called A Woman Needs to Be Loved, was a song that Carl Davis thought should be the first single. And so he released it, and nothing happened. And it wasn't making much noise at all until a Texas DJ turned it over and started playing the B-side. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that Texas DJ was a friend of Tyrone Davis. And Tyrone Davis made a telephone call and suggested to the DJ that he turn it over and play the B-side. So he started playing the B-side. A couple of other disc jockeys started playing the B-side. And that B-side is about a man thinking about his decision to leave his woman. Listen now to the lovely Can I Change My Mind.
Change my mind. I just wanna change my mind. Baby, let me change my mind. As I took those steps.
Can I Change My Mind? Number one on the R&B chart. Number five on the pop chart.
That song was popular because I had just come to England, and that song was popular over here with the amongst the GIs. over here, that song was very popular, right? Because today, it was so funny, because today my wife was saying, who you guys featuring tonight? And I said, Tyrone Davis. The first thing she says, can I change my mind?
Yeah. Can I change my mind? And it also cemented his reputation as king of Chicago soul.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, he has
so Tyrone is off and running now.
Hey, Jordan, he had some great words leading up to that statement about can I change my mind?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
The word that I thought the song should have been the title of the song, because before he gets to change my mind, he says this line about I would like to start all over again. And I always want to call start all over again. Because the emphasis that he put on that is just fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Great.
Now he followed up Can I Change My Mind with another great record. Check out Is It Something You Got?
When I first said I was leaving, girl, I didn't think I would have to stay gone so long. Oh, but now 5 weeks have ended, and I just realized that I did you wrong. But just think, y'all, I thought I was a big thing, but apparently she thought not. There must be something that I'm missing.
Is it something you got? Number 5 on the R&B chart, and number 5 also on the pop chart.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, he's working with producer Willie Henderson, and he's working with the cream of Chicago musicians, and they're recording at Brunswick Studios with engineer Bruce Sweden. Bruce would go on to be Quincy Jones' chief engineer in the 80s. In fact, Bruce did all the Michael Jackson stuff with Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
Tyrone Davis would continue to make some of the greatest R&B music of the period. In 1970, he would release the song that would become Tyrone's enduring anthem. Have a listen to Turn Back the Hands of Time. Oh, yeah. Turn Back the Hands of Time. Number 1 on the R&B chart and number 3 on the pop chart.
Well, I didn't realize they were that big pop. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, at the beginning, the first 3 or 4 singles, he was going pop very nice. But as we go on, you'll see that he is definitely an R&B artist. I mean, he's had 2 number ones already in the space of 2 years.
Hey, George, you know, one of the things that's already standing out in his music is the fact that you can kind of see why ladies were attracted to him, because he was showing extreme vulnerability in his relationships and his songs, right?
That's right. I mean, he always tried to tell a story from a man's point of view.
Right.
And that was lyrically.
Right.
And I think that attracted the women.
I think so too. I think so. Well, you know, and he also dressed a little smartly too, didn't he?
Oh yeah. He was a fashion idol, fashion god. And
oh,
also
yeah,
there's something very relaxing about Tyrone Davis's voice. I call it
Yeah.
Rich and bluesy. That's what I
Rich
call
it. Rich and bluesy. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Check out the lovely I'll Be Right Here.
I'll be right here, holding on to you, baby. When you need a shoulder to cry on, I'll be right here, holding on to you, baby.
right here. Number 8 on the R&B chart and number 53 on the pop chart.
Wow. Yeah, he's really firing up the R&B charts. I mean, there's no question about his ability
absolutely.
To make that chart.
Absolutely. And I tell you, there ain't nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Yeah. And the partnership of Davis and Henderson and Dakar Records, I mean, it's working wonderfully. They have had four top 10 R&B singles, and the hits just keep coming. Have a listen to the lovely Could I Forget?
It's another lonely night. I'm tossing and turning over you. And darling, I can't hide. Oh, darling, from these memories. You left a dark shadow, and it's hanging over me. Tell me how can I forget you, darling?
Oh, yeah, how could I forget? Number 10 on the R&B chart and number 60 on the pop chart.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, even at 60 on the pop charts for an R&B or soul singer, that's still worth turning your head around about, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's good, but it's notable, however, that Tyrone Davis' sales in the pop charts are beginning to diminish now.
Yeah.
But his sales in the R&B market continue to enter the R&B top 10. I mean, there were a lot of soul artists that were popular on the R&B chart that didn't do that well on the pop chart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joe Simon is one.
And
Tyrone Davis is another.
And would you guys say that the driving point from record sales is to build up your public appearances?
Public appearances always help. The gigs is always. And the thing about it, Tyrone did, he was constantly touring all the major R&B venues around the country. Tyrone was there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He was at that time, boy, he was up against a whole heap of great singers at that time, boy. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah, the whole gang of great,
especially out of Chicago. Because I remember Gene Chandler, he was trying to get his foot in there, and it was a whole bunch of those guys, and we used to buy every record that came out, you know, and but in comparison, you know, Tyrone had some really great songs. You know,
mm-hmm.
and his delivery and the thing about it is, all these guys that were putting records out at the same time, they all had different voices, which was great. Cause everybody sounded different, so I didn't mind going and buying five records by five different guys because they all sound different. See, so
you
had a great choice back in those days, which was
mm-hmm.
which another thing which was great too about record sales back then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now we move into 1972. And check out the wonderful I Had It All the Time.
Oh, I went out on another date, and I found that I made a mistake. You see, something was missing. It wasn't you I was kissing. While in another's arms, I found myself reminiscing. And that let me know what I was trying to find.
I had it all the time, y'all. Number five on the R&B chart. And number 61 on the pop chart. So now, for 4 years now, Tyrone Davis has been a fixture on the R&B charts. Women love him. He's famous for his bedroom voice, his intimate lyrics, and, of course, those flashy suits. 1973.
Yeah.
Have a listen to 1973's lovely Without You in My Life.
It was you, baby, who made me what I am. And without your love, baby, my life would be worth a
dime. I saw without you in my life.
Oh yeah, without you in my life.
Be the same.
Number 5 on the R&B chart, and number 64 on the pop chart.
Beautiful.
And
beautiful.
As we said, Davis is also a popular act on the R&B live gig circuit. He's playing all the most popular gigs on the circuit, and the great records just keep right on coming. I think, you know, a lot of times it's the partnership, and that partnership of him and Willie Henderson, it seems to be working really, really well.
It did.
Yeah.
It really did.
Mm-hmm.
Really did.
Check out the fantastic There It Is.
I just got the surprise of my life when I stumbled up on my wife's ride. Leaning, smiling with another guy. Nobody could have made.
Oh, yeah, that is. Number 9 on the R&B chart, and number 32 on the pop chart.
Yeah, there it is. That's beautiful, boy. He's sharing the story of a heartbreaking moment, boy, when you see your lady riding with another guy, smiling and having a good time.
No, that's something you don't want to see that.
Want to see that. That's for sure. Well, listen, we're at a point now where we can take a little side trip and regather ourselves. At least that's for me anyway. I know you guys have let it go and moved on, but I'm still lingering a little bit. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Don't go away. We'll be right back after this stop on the Underground Railroad. Abolitionists Edwin and Charlotte Clark built a large brick residence in Oswego's historic Oak Hill section in 1857. Edwin Clark grew up in Oswego, and after studying law, was admitted to the bar in 1828. Harriet was a teacher and homemaker, and by 1855, they had 6 children living at home. Edwin's epitaph read, "Just a fearless human." He gave the best of his years and powers to the relief of the oppressed, and to the aid and success of slaves escaping from bondage, along with his devoted wife. Family tradition recounts the role of Edwin and his brother in the Underground Railroad, with freedom seekers lodging in Edwin and Harriet's home before moving on to his brother's. Clark brought his law background to bear on his abolition activities as documented in letters. In 1840, Clark took leadership of the campaign to free James Watkins Seward, a freeborn African-American from New York, from potential enslavement in New Orleans. The Edwin and Charlotte Clark House is located at 80 East Mohawk Street in Oswego, New York. Currently, it is not open to the public.
Okay, we're back now, and so, George, I guess we're coming out of 1973, I guess, right?
Yeah, we're coming out of 1973. Tyrone Davis, he continues to nurture his vocal style. He's becoming more seductive, more silky, more sophisticated. His lyrics speak of romance from a man's point of view. And he also tried to put messages in all of his songs. And he's got that little blues thing going for him as well. And I think that, and researching this show, that's what I realized more so than I had realized in the past, how bluesy his voice was. Because most of the soul singers, you think of them as being gospel derived, you know, Johnny Taylor, Wilson Pickett, you know.
Yeah.
But with Tyrone Davis, you can hear the blues. But I think the blues may have been his first love, actually.
It might have been coming from Mississippi. Yeah.
Yeah. 1974, he released the lovely "I Wish It Was Me." Check it out.
I see.
next door staring out my soul. Oh, I don't know who you're going to see.
Oh, yeah. I wish it was me. Number 11 on the R&B chart and number 57 on the pop chart. Great stuff.
Still in the pop chart.
Yeah.
Little into the pop chart, but he's still in there.
Yeah.
You know, I play when people come over the house, and you know, I always play some Tyrone Davis stuff, right? But he reminds me of today when I remember when Alexander O'Neill first came out. And Alexander O'Neill, he had his own style. And it wasn't that he was a fantastic singer, but he always had a message. He was always selling a message, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his songs fit his voice for some, you know, to try to explain his voice. His songs fit his voice. And, you know, the way they were doing it up in Minneapolis, you know, the producers up in Minneapolis was producing him. But he was... I think Tyrone Davis is like, I equate them two together because it always reminds me. What was the name of the two producers up in Minnesota?
You got me on that one.
Talking about Jimmy Jam?
That's it, yeah, Jim and Lewis, yeah. Yeah, they had that same type of, they could pick out singers and have certain things with certain messages, and it always worked well, you know. And every now and then it comes along like that. And Alexander reminds me of, he used to remind me, I said he's a modern day Tyrone Davis. He looked good, wore flashy clothes, and women loved him, you know. They would still love him now.
Yeah. Combined with his flair for brightly colored suits, gilded cufflinks,
and shiny unbuttoned
shirts. Davis became a lady's favorite, man. I mean,
women regularly
rushed the stage when he performed.
Yeah. Hmm. Yes, indeed.
That's amazing. It's just to show you how they can create those elements, you know, that moment when people just let go of themselves, you know.
I think
it was Joe Simon that said folks used to, before he converted back, they would pass out in his at his performance of a particular song. I said, my goodness, man. That has never happened to me. Has it ever happened to one of you guys?
No.
Oh, man. 1975.
Go ahead,
John. Go ahead.
I was getting to that. I said the first time I saw Sam Cooke, and he had retired on that Davis tour, and I saw him in New York. Johnny Taylor was singing with the Soul Stirrers, and Sam Cooke had retired, and Johnny Taylor brought him on stage, and when he started singing, I said, "Wow, that's something different." That was the same kind of thing, that type thing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. 1975, Davis releases the fantastic Turning Point. Check it out.
I reached a turning point in my life. I reached a turning point, Lord, 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 in my life. I used to stay out all night.
Oh, yeah, Turning Point. Guess what? Number one on the R&B chart.
Wow. Mm.
Yes, indeed. Imagine. But this one didn't even make the pop chart.
Wow. That's unimaginable.
It's number one on the R&B chart, but it didn't even make the pop chart.
And wow. he's still on the same label.
But he's getting ready to leave. Not long after this record. Tyrone Davis moved to Columbia Records. That was during that period in the 70s when Columbia was signing up all the R&B soul singers. After he had spent 8 years with Dakka Records.
Wow, 8 years.
Now, his first release on his new label on Columbia was in 1976. Now, in 1976, disco had come in, and a lot of soul artists had kind of lost their way when disco came in. But Tyrone is not having any problems with that. Check him out. Give it up. Turn it loose.
Give it up. Turn it loose. I went downtown the other day, and I heard a woman say, I do all I can for that man. At home, he still won't stay.
Oh, yeah. Give it up. Turn it loose. Number one on the R&B chart. And number 38, pop chart.
Okay.
That's two number ones in a row, back to back.
Yeah.
No hit.
On the R&B chart.
Oh, man. He's got a bullet now.
I'm telling you. And he's so smooth, ain't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's so smooth.
Very smooth.
Now, Give It Up or Turn It Loose was followed up by the wonderful So Good to Be Home With You.
Just to prove, baby, that my love for you is true. Oh, you welcome me with such a tender kiss. And loving you right now, baby, is so hard to resist.
Oh,
but
yeah,
now,
so good to be home with you.
Through,
oh, he knows how to do it, boy. Number 9 on the R&B chart. And once again, no action on the pop chart.
Okay. But made it to number 9. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's making a little cash, putting it away.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, he's selling records.
Right.
Yeah.
And
the other thing, he seems to have been a fun-loving guy. You know, he took to the celebrity lifestyle. He was
like
Mr. Chicago, his friend Willie Clayton said. It was a thrill to be around him and to see the fancy cars and you name it, he had it. But despite the flash, Davis was a devoted family man. He married Ann Davis in the early 60s, and over 40 years of happy marriage produced 5 children.
Fantastic.
Mm. In 1977, the hits are still coming. Check out the lovely This I Swear.
I'll come to your aid, no matter where. I'll treat you good, I'll be fair. Give you good love in all. This I swear.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
He's got it going on. He knows exactly what he's doing. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
1978, now he releases the very danceable Get On Up. Get On Up, number 12 on the R&B chart, number 102 on the pop chart.
Yeah.
Hey, George, with regards to This I Swear, where did it fall on the R&B chart?
This I Swear was number 6 on the R&B chart.
Number 6. Okay.
Number 6.
Okay. Well, he made on this particular cut, Get On Up, he really made a hard turn toward the disco, didn't he?
Yeah, well, you had to. You had to acknowledge disco
Otherwise, you didn't sell any records. I mean, everybody ended up doing disco, from Rod Stewart to the Rolling Stones. Everybody made a nod at disco. Otherwise, you didn't sell records during this mid-70s.
That's right. My wife's birthday is coming up later on this month, and we're excited about going to see this play on Donna Summer's life.
Oh.
Which is going to be an all-disco night.
Oh, that should be interesting.
I'm telling you,
man.
That's great.
She's already getting the boots and
she's getting
what do you call feathered. Yeah, man, feathered jacket and all that. And I got an afro that I'm going to wear, you know, so we're going to go back to the 60s.
Hey Lou, I've got some disco lights. I'll give them to George to send to you. You can put on your head.
Right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, because that was a great time, disco. But it was lights, lights and thrills.
It's like George said, you either made the adjustment or you starved to death, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As an entertainer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, 1979.
Okay,
we're moving on. Pop record sales are down, but Tyrone still has his R&B audience. Now, check out Very Beautiful, In the Mood.
What a feel. Like you never felt, just like ice cream. And honey, my love is gonna make you melt.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Are you?
Oh yeah. In the Mood, number 6 on the R&B chart. And you know, I just noticed something on that In the Mood. You notice that the groove reminds you a lot, and also his interpretation reminds you a lot of Teddy Pendergrass.
I was going to say that. It sounds like Philly.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
It looks like Philly. Another love TKO.
That's right.
Yeah, but he can handle that though.
Tyrone, you know, he can do that. You know.
Oh
I mean?
Yeah, sure. That's number 6 on the R&B chart. No noise in the pop chart.
Mm.
Yeah.
You notice one thing we were talking about before. You know, back in the 70s, you know, when we were making records back then in the 60s and 70s. Where you may put out maybe 4 records a year, even if you had a hit, you know, you're still gonna put 3 or 4 records out a year.
Mm-hmm.
As time goes on, they start putting out one record a year, and it gives his lifetime longevity, because if he can get one hit a year, then he's right there. You know what I mean? See, He'd have to put 2 or 3 records out a year, you know, to keep his audience going. But if he can put one record out and get a hit, he can last a year. And you know, that started in the late 70s. That's smart.
Yeah. Tyrone, he continued to have hits on the R&B charts. In 1982, he left Columbia Records, and he moved to a small label called High Rise Records, where he hit with his final top 10 single. Have a listen from 1982 to the lovely Are You Serious? Number 3 on the R&B chart. And number 57 on the pop chart.
Wow.
Yes,
that's beautiful. Boy, he really comes out strong on that second question. Are you serious, boy? I love
I'm
that.
I'm telling you.
The way he elevated his voice. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could,
yeah,
he could sing.
He's quite an entertainer and quite a singer too. I mean, he wasn't.
I'm telling you.
Stumbling his way. He wasn't stumbling his way on those records. He was really singing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Between 1981 and 1986, Davis, he spent those years with various labels, and finishing his career with Malico Records between 1996 and 2005. Now,
okay.
In September of 2004, Tyrone Davis suffered a stroke, and it sent him into a coma from which he would not recover. He died on February 9th, 2005, his wife, Anne, by his side.
Wow. That's a tough way to... Well, hey, listen, you got to go out of here somehow, but what a life he's been able to live. And the contributions that he made. I hope as part of his legacy that he was able to see before passing on, Joyce, that he felt that he'd received proper recognition and that, you know, he saw the value in his contributions.
Yeah, well, and he did win one award for his contributions in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
The Rhythm and Blues Foundation Hall of Fame awarded him a Pioneer
Whoa.
Award.
Oh,
there you go.
The Rhythm and Blues
oh,
Foundation
my.
Did the right thing.
There you go. There you go.
And I tell you, well deserved it. I'm telling you, well deserved.
Yes, he did. It's still.
But see, I missed most of Tyrone's career because living in Europe. And he didn't have any crossover records over here as
yeah.
such, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he didn't,
the
yeah.
Die
okay.
Hard old people knew of him, you know, but the British pop market and the time that I spent in Italy, they didn't know who Tyrone Davis was. He never had any hits over there. But as
yeah.
I've been doing this research and making myself familiar, getting my hands on some of his music, I realized what a fantastic artist he was, you know,
yeah.
really, really.
Yeah.
Very unique with his own style.
Yeah, because,
that's
you
beautiful.
Know, what I find is strange is that even during that period, right, when singers were coming over to play the basses in Germany and places like that, he never came either.
Yeah.
Because I would have gone to
as
see him.
As far as I know,
you know
he never came to Europe.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I really find that strange because everybody was coming. I mean, Billy Stewart and, I mean, everybody was coming to England and they were going. They were playing the basses in Germany and in England, you know. But he,
yeah, that's something, man. I can remember as a kid passing those places we used to call juke joints, you know. All the people in there drinking their beer and all that kind of stuff, and you'd hear Tyrone Davis have a little speaker out on the outside the door, you know, to attract your attention, and you could hear Tyrone Davis coming from just about all of those places. Just, he was very well liked within the black community, and I assume that that would constitute the majority of the R&B. Fan base.
Yes.
Yeah, he's still popping in my house, that's for sure.
Well, he's popping in my house now, I tell you, because I got a lot of respect for him. In closing, I'd like to say that Tyrone Davis was able to meld the ache of the blues with a more sophisticated urban style, which made him very special indeed.
Yeah.
In a career spanning more than 40 years, Tyrone Davis sold over 25 million records. He was indeed the father of Chicago soul.
Mm-hmm. And by
my
that,
goodness, that's it. You can put a period after that, boy. That's not much. There's not much more to say.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, by that.
And that's saying a lot to give him that kind of accolade as it relates to Chicago. Thinking about all of the, you know, the great performers that came out of that town.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean,
so
many great singers came out of Chicago. So many great singers, many great vocal groups, you know.
Yep.
And also, Chicago was a home, especially during the 50s when Tyrone got there, of gospel music as well.
Right.
And he had all these influences. And he also, like I said, on the South Side, that's where the blues was. And he loved Howlin' Wolf and all these people.
And Jimmy Reed. he was on the same label. Wasn't he on the same label as Jackie Wilson?
Dachau was some kind of way, I think, involved with Brunswick Records.
Brunswick.
But at the beginning, Dachau was distributed by Atlantic Records.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because I always thought that they had a connection, the Brunswick Records with Tyrone Davis and that Jack Wilson, that Turnpole people. Yeah.
Yeah. Clive Davis worked and produced for Brunswick Records, so that was a tie up.
Yeah. Yeah. But the records were coming out that were just amazing, man. Back in the day, Tyrone Davis, man. He was right there with the rest of them.
Yeah, indeed. Well, George,
thank
again,
you very
brother.
Much. Yeah,
well,
you did.
As always, it's been my pleasure.
Yeah, appreciate all the research you've done and certainly the great music you've picked out. And, you know, and let's get our listening audience a little pumped up for what our journey is going to be next week. You got to want to share a little bit of that?
Oh yes. Well, I'll just give you three words. Bobby New Blank.
All right.
Uh oh.
That works for me, boy. I'm getting myself together.
Yes, indeed.
that's gonna be great, John. Sound like you interested in that too.
Mm. Oh, hey, Bobby. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
We're at that witching hour where there's really only a few things left for us to say, and that is to tell our listening audience we really enjoyed them being on board with us this evening, and then beyond that, guys, there's only one thing left for us to do. You know what that is?
Bye-bye.
Okay, the conductor is telling us it's time to move on. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Let us know by sending an email to info@clioexchange-express.com. That's info@clioexchange-express.com. Until next time, we wish you peace of mind, love from the heart, and happiness you cannot explain.
A matchup.
And what a team, Mike. Metro PCS and the iPhone SE for $0 on a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S. Oh, impressive.
Play with the best. Switch to Metro PCS on an unlimited LTE plan and get a 32-gig iPhone SE for $0. Metro PCS.
Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax. Claim based on talk and text. Not valid for active numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro PCS in the past 90 days. See store for details and terms and conditions.
A matchup.
And what a team, Mike. Metro PCS and the iPhone SE for $0 on a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S. Oh, impressive.
play with the best. Switch to Metro PCS on an unlimited LTE plan and get a 32 gig iPhone SE for $0. Metro PCS. Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax. Claim based on talk and text. Not valid for active numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro PCS in the past 90 days. See store for details and terms and conditions.